Shadadadaba, E Malalaba Haya Nalabandele Malagada, Indarababo Ramanda Skataya, La Shabi and La 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 La, O Ramamos and Alabande Yanda, Ayantere Baskapa Dada Shata, E Kafaya, in the name of Jesus. Father, have your way tonight. Father, have your way tonight. Have your way tonight. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Oh, amen.
Amen.
I'm speaking to you again on the topic, the mystery of the gospel. In the olden days, as we read from the scriptures, God wanted to bring all nations to himself. And for God to do that, God used a nation. The vehicle or instrument that God used to carry all nations to himself was the vehicle of a nation. So when God wanted nations, God used a nation. And it is very important that for every generation, if God wants to save a generation, God picks the same people from that same generation and uses them as saviors for that generation. So yesterday's people, our fathers and our grandfathers, they are not the people who can minister to the people in this generation. Their time is gone. When God wants to save people in this generation, God will pick men from this same generation and release them back to the generation. Do we understand? That is how God works. And so when God was looking for the nation that will bring all nations to himself, God picked Israel. And God said, I will use Israel to make known the mystery of my will. The mystery we are talking about, God said, I'll pick Israel so that Israel will let other people know. So through Israel, the nations saw the power of God. Through Israel, they saw the wisdom of God. Through Israel, they saw God performing miracles. And they realized that, wow, the God of the Israelites is a mighty God. Because they will go to war, they will go to battle, and God will fight for them. So anytime the nations were fighting against Israel, it's like it's a big deal. You dare not go to fight the people of Israel with joke. You go prepared because their God is an awesome God. Now, in the New Testament, God is not using Israel anymore. Now, the church has become the Israel of God. Are we together? The church has become the Israel of God. That is why the Bible says, and now through the church, God decides to reveal his manifold wisdom to all through the church. That is what is written in scripture. So it's now through the church, the intents and the purposes, the mystery of God is revealed to all mankind. So the church has become the Israel of God. So it means that now through the church, all the nations of the world must see the power of God. Through the church, all the nations must receive the mystery of the will of God. Through the church, all nations must experience God's love. So if the church is not manifesting the power of God, then there's a problem. Then there's a problem with the church. If the church has a light and the light is not shining, then there's a problem with our light. Are we together? So the church is a very important institution. Unfortunately, in our part of this northern Ghana where we are, people don't know what the church is. They think that the church is a group where they go and they sing and they dance and they close. They don't know that the church is beyond clapping and dancing. The church is beyond, you know, making noise or singing. It is a powerful institution. The church is an epitome of power. It's a place where God dwells. It is the place where God has actually decided to use to bring all nations to himself. It is only the church. God did not choose any political party. God did not choose any government. Am I talking to somebody? God did not choose the rich. God did not choose the rich. If he chose the rich, some of us maybe will not be there. God did not choose those who are too brilliant or intelligent. But Bible said that God chose the foolish things of the world to confound the wisdom of the wise. The things that are abased, that is what God chose. So that he will tell the people of wisdom that it is not about wisdom. Are we together? So I want to introduce to you the five mysteries of the gospel tonight. Amen. After sharing with you the five mysteries, we zoom into prayer. Now, why have we met? We have started our 40 days fasting and prayer to pray about the Easter convention, because it is a convention we literally want to see the power of God. Hallelujah. Amen. It's like, hallelujah.
Amen.
It's a convention we literally, say literally.
Literally.
Oh, say literally.
Literally.
We literally want to see the power of God. And I'm telling you, when you ask Apostle Johnson Suleiman of Nigeria, of Omega Fire Ministry, Apostle Johnson Suleiman will tell you that when I went to Awuchi, Awuchi was not a popular town. It was, in fact, where I chose as church was far away in the bush. But because the fire was burning, people came from far and they did not even look at distance. And they ran because the fire was burning the church. There's something about church. There's something about church. You see, John the Baptist was in the wilderness, and yet men were running from the cities. And they were going to him to the outskirts of the town, to where John was. And when they go, John will be insulting them, "Oh, brood of vipers, you wicked men, what are you running from? Are you running away from the wrath?" And but men were still running to. Why? Because the man was burning. You see, in the days of John Wesley, the people warned John Wesley that John should no more preach in the name of his God. So they sacked him from the town and said, "Go to the outskirts of the city." And luckily enough, he found himself where his father was buried, on the grave. So he went to stand on the grave and he started preaching the word of God. As he was preaching the word of God, men came from far and they came to listen to him. Every day, the crowd was increasing in number. It was increased. And somebody said to him, "John Wesley, why is it that we have asked you to stop doing church and the people have left you, but you still preach and people still come around? The crowd is many." Then John said, "I set myself on fire. And the people come, when the people come around, they come around to come and see me burn with the fire." People of God, when we say church, church is not just a place where there is good microphone, keyboard, drums, and a sophisticated building with 20 ushers and a pastor wearing suit and jacket. That is not church. Am I talking to somebody? Church is a group or an army who are carrying the fire of God to ensure that the mystery of the gospel reaches out to people. In fact, the church can be under the tree, but the power of God will be there. A church may be under a tree. A church may be in darkness like we are, but it is not about light or darkness. It is about the power of God and the presence of God that is working in the environment. Am I talking to somebody? The church may have a pastor who are not going to school. The church may have a leader who does not have a PhD degree, but because of the power of the Holy Ghost that is working in the person, you go to church and your sickness is healed. You go to church and the demon worrying you runs away. You go to church and that problem on your head is lifted. Why? Because it is not about certificate or degree or PhD. It is about the power of the Holy Ghost that is working among the group of people. And this evening, if you are here, I want you to understand, you have not come to a human being, but you have come to Mount Zion. You have come to the city of the living God. You have come to the innumerable company of angels. Am I talking to somebody? Where we are today is not an ordinary place. The church is the Zion of God. The church is the city of God. The church is the company that is made up of innumerable angels. The church is the mountain of the Lord. And this evening, our prayer is that as we go through the fasting and prayer, we will go out there and do radical recruitment into the church of God and ensure that through the gospel, I said through the gospel, many people will come into this church. Somebody shout church. Oh, I can't hear you. Shout church. So, the mystery of the gospel, number one, take note of these things. Number one, take note of these things. Take note of this thing. The gospel, I'm talking about the mystery of the gospel. The gospel is from God. That is number one. Galatians chapter 1, verse 11. Galatians chapter 1, verse 11. The gospel is from God. The gospel is from God. I read Galatians chapter 1 to you.
Verse number 11. Listen to what Paul said to the Galatian church. He said, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preach is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. Oh, my God. My God. The gospel is not from man. So that is why when you go out there to preach the gospel, you don't say what you think, but you preach what you have received. Am I talking to somebody? You preach what you have received. So the gospel is not of human origin. The gospel is from God. It's from the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, the gospel is the power of God. The gospel is the power of God. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. And I read again to you, Romans chapter 1, verse number 16. Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God. Say, the power of God. The gospel is the power. I'm talking to you about the mystery of the gospel. The one mysterious thing is that the gospel is the power of God. You see, when we say the power of God is the power of God. Hallelujah. The power of God is the power of God. You see, there are some things that you can replace with God. Like, God is love. So love is God. But power is not God. God is not power. God is above power. You understand me? God is above power. Power is just some of the things he has. But love, when it comes to love, love is his nature. Love is his nature. But power is something he releases. Something he releases. Now, when we say the gospel is the power of God, sometimes you would think that, you see, I don't know about you, but anytime I go out to preach the gospel, I feel more powerful. Because it is the power of God, is the power of God, because it is the only thing that can make a sinner become righteous. And it is so powerful. Huh? No matter how sophisticated a medical surgeon may be, a surgeon can never make a sinner become righteous. Am I talking to somebody? A medical doctor cannot do operation on you and remove sin from your body. Sin dwells in the body. The only thing that can enter your soul and your spirit and divide your spirit and soul and remove sin from your body is the gospel. Is the gospel. Hallelujah. So the gospel is the power of God. And so we are going out there to release the power. Say the power. We are going out there to release the power for men to come to Christ. Number three. Because of time. The gospel brings salvation. The third mystery is that it is only the gospel that can bring salvation. So if we want men to be saved, we should stop preaching other things and preach the gospel. I feel like Bishop Doug this evening. Hallelujah. That anointing is here. Hallelujah. Oh, amen. Oh, say amen like you are here. Amen. You are coming home. You are coming home. Amen. The gospel brings what? Salvation. The gospel brings salvation. The same scripture we read, Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Paul said that, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for in it is the power of God to do what? To bring salvation to everyone who does what? Who believes. First to the Jews and then to the Gentile. So, it is the gospel that can bring salvation. These days, we are preaching all kinds of things. We preach all things but the gospel. We preach everything but the gospel. And that is why people are not getting saved. Because the only thing that brings salvation is the gospel. So if you want people to be saved, preach the gospel. If you don't preach the gospel, they will not be saved. Because the gospel is the only thing that brings what? Salvation. Amen. Oh, amen.
Amen.
So let us go and do what? And preach the what? The gospel. Yeah. Let's preach the gospel. Because it brings salvation. It brings salvation. But you see, how can they believe? How can they believe?
If they have not what? If they are not sent. Okay. If they have not heard, how can they believe if they have not heard? And how can they hear if somebody has not preached? And how can somebody preach if we are not sent? So, somebody must believe. But before somebody believes, the person must hear. And before somebody hears, somebody must preach. And before somebody preaches, somebody must be sent. So, the faith or the believing is connected to the hearing. And that is why the Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So without the hearing, people cannot be saved. So somebody must hear. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, I said amen.
Amen.
Somebody must do what? Hear. As for the hearing, if you are not careful, you will underestimate it. But listen, that is why if you go somewhere and you preach, and as long as they hear, forget it. Forget about what will happen after. As long as they hear, you are already in the right direction. Because by all means, somebody must hear. So, how can they also they hear? Somebody must preach. So, we need to preach the gospel. We need to preach. And somebody say, how can they preach? Unless they are sent. So, this Easter convention, by the grace of God, Friday, we are going to Namu. We are sent. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, I said amen.
Amen.
We are sent to go and do what? And preach. Can I hear an amen in the house?
Amen.
If I said, may you receive a car, you would have said a better amen. No? I said, we are sent to preach the gospel.
Amen.
Oh, say a better amen.
Amen.
Uh-huh. You are here. I feel like preaching. The fourth mystery is that the gospel reveals the righteousness of God. The gospel reveals the righteousness of God. In fact, it is only the gospel that makes us become righteous. To be a righteous man is a big deal. You don't just become righteous. So when you go to other religions, it is about how many good things you do that is counted as a righteous person. For them, maybe you have to pray a certain number of times. Then you are getting closer to becoming a righteous man. For some of them too, it is about how many good things you do or how many, you know, alms you give out. But you see, salvation is not by works. Being saved is not by works. It is a work of grace. And Jesus has done all the works already for us. That is why he said on the cross, Tetelestai, it is finished, because he has finished the work. So you have no work to do. So it is not about works, lest any man boast. Am I talking to somebody?
Yes.
Righteousness is not by works. It's by grace. Romans chapter 1 verse 17. What does it say? It says that for in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. A righteousness that is by faith. From first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Yeah. Then when he jumped to 18, he says, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. So when you jump down, it talks a lot about the righteousness. So I'm just trying to say that in the gospel, the righteousness is revealed. Amen.
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 We want people to become righteous. We are going to make men righteous.
Amen.
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 We are going to make men righteous. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. This righteousness is by faith. It's by faith. These days, instead of people to focus on preaching the gospel that makes men righteous, they are focusing on preaching all kinds of things. All kinds of things. I remember some auditors came here to audit me some time ago and were asking me about some things. And I told them, when you go to some places, it's all about finance. When they do program, they straight program, it's all about money, fundraising. But when you come here, it's all about souls. Go out, going out, preaching the word. How many times do we raise offerings and fundraising in this church? How many times? Sometimes we get things done without even telling you to bring money. We get things done. It's not about money. It's not that. The church is not a fundraising empire. It is a place where we go out to make men righteous. How many men have you made righteous this year? Amen. Yeah. The last thing, the fifth one, after that we pray. I'll end with the fifth one. Maybe another time we continue. The fifth mystery of the gospel is that the gospel is a spiritual weapon. The gospel is a spiritual weapon. Yeah. The gospel is what? A spiritual weapon. And we read Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 15. Paul talks about the armor of the Christian or the armor of God. In verse 10, he said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And when you jump to verse 11 and 12, he talks about the fact that put on the full armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Am I right? Then in verse 12, he said, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities and what? The rulers of darkness, powers of this dark world, blah, 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 blah. Now, when you jump to verse 15, after talking about all of that, he said, therefore, put on. Now, when you jump to verse 15, he describes one of the weapons the Christian must put on. And he says that, put your feet fitted with the gospel, with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. So, you come to understand that even the gospel is a weapon a Christian must carry. The gospel is an armor. So you can carry every armor, but if you are not preaching the gospel, you are not complete. You are incomplete. I have been in the military environment before, and I understand some of these things very well. One of the things that builds confidence among security men is their boots. Apart from the gun, is their boot. One of the things that builds confidence is the boot. You can wear your trouser, wear your uniform, but if you are not in boots, you are not confident. Because with the boot, you are not afraid to step on anything. With the boot, we go to the forest, and sometimes you see some animals, you are not even afraid to step on a snake. Because you know that as the boot steps on the snake, nothing can bite you. Am I talking to somebody? You are not afraid to step on a scorpion because you know the ones you step. And that is why Jesus said that you shall tread upon lions, upon scorpions, and what? Serpents. When he said you shall tread upon scorpions and serpents, if you are not preaching and you step on it, you will die. So that word, you shall tread upon scorpions and serpents, is not for every Christian. That word you shall tread upon scorpions and serpents is for the Christians who preach the gospel. So Christians who are not preaching the gospel, you make an attempt to step on a scorpion, you will die. It will bite you. But those who preach the gospel, they cannot be bitten by serpents. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Those who preach the gospel, the scorpion cannot bite them. When it makes attempt, it cannot happen. It can't. Because that power and authority has been given to you. And that is why when we go out there to preach the gospel, because we are already in the boot, no devil, no demon can stand before us because we are carrying the power of God, which is able to trample upon every scorpion, every serpent, and any other thing that will rise above the knowledge of God. Somebody lift your hand and shout, yes! Am I talking to somebody? Yeah, that is what we call the gospel. So the gospel is a weapon. You must carry it. If by 2 months now you have not shared the gospel, then you are walking barefooted, and it's dangerous to walk barefooted. Spiritually, if the Lord opens your eyes, you see how many Christians are walking barefooted. They are wearing shoes and sandals, but spiritually they are walking barefooted. And sometimes the arrows of life will prick their legs. And they don't know where it's coming from, but they don't know that spiritually they are incomplete. Touch somebody beside you and tell the person, are you ready to share the gospel? Hallelujah. I am going to hand over to Brother Gordon to lead us to pray. I want you to just pray. Let's pray. The gospel must go. Amen. Oh, amen.
Amen.
The gospel must go. Hallelujah. Amen. The mystery of the gospel should be made known to the nations of the world. And I'm praying that as we begin to pray, God will begin to touch us. It is an opportunity for you to revive yourself this evening. An opportunity to come before the Lord. May the Lord bless his word. In Jesus' name, amen.